Multiple news sources have been reporting that people from Michigan were a presence in D.C. Reports indicate several arrests made yesterday were of Michigan residents. And we also know that several local Republican parties raised money to send busloads of people to Washington, D.C. Of course, not everyone who attended the president's rally went on to do mayhem at the Capitol. But the Michigan GOP is certainly in the midst of a reckoning about the party's deep embrace of Donald Trump and its dividends. Joining us today to talk more about this is Jeff Timmer, former director of Michigan's Republican Party, now a partner at Two Rivers Public Affairs and a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Jeff Timmer, welcome back to Stateside.
I'm glad to be here.
What was going through your mind as you watched this mob of extremist Trump supporters descend on the U.S. Capitol?
Well, I couldn't believe it, and I could believe it at the same time. This has been the slowest building riot, slowest building insurrection. No one should really have been surprised at what we saw yesterday. Trump has been talking about it since summer. People like me have been warning about it for a long time, that this was the inevitable outcome of Trump's rhetoric. He's been saying, if I lose, it's because it was rigged and they're stealing it and we're not going to let them steal it and you're not going to let them steal it. He incited that riot. He sent them off from the rally on the Mall or the Ellipse to the Capitol, told them to go storm the Capitol. They did. No one should be surprised that his rhetoric led to that action. We should be shocked that the president of the United States engages in rhetoric and lunacy and corrosive behavior that leads to that, but nobody should be surprised that they did what he asked them to do.
Recently, you wrote a piece for Our Detroit about how Trumpism could devastate the GOP. And you wrote, "How did the party I love get here?" Do you feel like you have what you consider a satisfactory answer to that question?
No. I see otherwise sane people, people I knew to be different, acting in a different way now. We saw in a small example of the lunacy where we had a majority of the Republicans serving in the Michigan State Senate sign on to a letter sent to Congress urging Congress to reject Michigan's electoral votes. And in there, they spout all these kooky conspiracy theories and flat-out idiocy about the election, things that are demonstrably and proven false. I've known many of those people for years, and 5 years ago, they weren't insane. They didn't support trampling the Constitution. They weren't anti-American, but they are now. You know, it is a cult. It's a cult that, you know, 50 or 60 million people buy into. It's hard to explain. I think there's going to be a whole branch of psychology and sociology that study this for years. It's a phenomenon that I don't think we fully grasp yet, how deep it runs, how quickly it happened, and how corrosive it is.
Behind closed doors, Electoral College objectors will sometimes say things like, well, there is an obligation to give voice to what some of the people in the district I represent are saying. They may also say that there is a risk, if they do not represent those views, that they will be attacked from the right in a primary, and that what they're trying to do is maintain positions in which they can be effective and do something good for their districts. Do you think those arguments still hold water?
No, they're cowardly. And those kinds of cynical manipulation of the situation, they fanned the flames of this. They allowed what happened yesterday to occur. There's a straight line from that kind of that cynical attitude toward this. Oh, you know, I'm willing to subvert the rule of law and reality and lie to these people in order to maintain my political position. That's as corrupt as it can be. I don't buy into the argument that, well, you know, I need their support and then I can do good things because I'm actually not crazy. The people like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, I hold them to a higher standard than Trump. Trump is mentally ill and he has been for a long time. They are not. They are cynically manipulating the situation to what they think is their own political advantage. And it blew up in their face yesterday.
Let's bring this a little closer to home. We do know, as I said, that busloads of Michiganders from across the state showed up in D.C., and they said they wanted to protest what they perceive was a stolen election. And county officials, county parties, raised the money for these bus trips. Do you think they knew what would happen?
I don't know how they could not. I don't think that everybody that went there was intending to riot. But there were people who went there intending to riot. And now you see these kooky conspiracy theories that, you know, the Trump protesters were peaceful and it was really just a bunch of Antifa thugs dressed up like MAGAs to, you know, make them look bad. You know, that's crazy. They should have known what could happen. They should have known that they would be complicit in the repulsive, vile theater that we saw yesterday displayed before the whole world. The Confederate flag being waved through the halls of the Capitol, something that never even happened during the Civil War. They do bear culpability in this. They helped fan those flames. They're not dumb people. They should have seen the outcome and what was going to happen, that it was going to be mayhem, even if they couldn't have foreseen that there would be actual violence, that they would break into the Capitol, that people would get killed. They might not have foreseen that, but they should have.
Let's talk a little bit about what the state party might do to try to come back from this edge. We know that one of the folks in Washington yesterday was Michonne Maddock. She's a Michigander on the National Board of Women for Trump. She is the wife of a state representative, and she posted several videos from marches in D.C. to her social media accounts yesterday. She is also, on paper at least, a candidate for party co-chair when Michigan GOP elections happen this winter. Do you think the party should continue to support her as a leader?
No. I clearly don't. She's not just on paper. She's Ron Weiser's running mate in his race for chair. And quite honestly, he needs her in order to get elected. It's a deal with the devil. You know, she is a certifiable kook, and the party should sever ties with somebody who encouraged and supported and embraced insurrection, armed rebellion against the United States government. It's insane that it's even a question whether they should sever ties with her, if Weiser should sever ties with her.
If Ron Weiser is the only candidate on the ballot, is there a procedural way to get her off that ticket?
Yes. He could say he could remove her from the ticket. It could definitely happen. But if you want to know what's going to happen with the party, watch and see what he does. If he moves to get her off of his ticket, then that tells you that he's willing to stand up to what we saw yesterday. If he leaves her on the ticket, he's not.
He's not talking to media right now. We should say he has rebuffed requests for comment or has not responded from Michigan radio and other sources. From what you know of him, do you think he will?
I don't think he will. I think the Ron Weiser I worked with for, you know, 25 years would. I don't think the Ron Weiser running for chair in 2020 will. I hope he does. I hope I'm wrong.
Several folks have reported, and we actually talked to Tim Alberta on Monday, about the depth of Donald Trump's involvement in state and local parties, that people who are faithful to him are now running the state and local parties all across the country. And that's certainly seems to be the case in Michigan. What is the path toward disentangling this relationship if the party can indeed do so?
That's the $64,000 question Republicans, sane Republicans, have been asking for 4 or 5 years. Trumpism will live on. It is the party. It's not a faction of the party right now. It controls all the apparatus of the party and really controls the hearts and minds of a lot of the party people. And so anybody who thinks that things are going to revert to normal in our politics or within the party is deluding themselves, that we're now going to elect quote-unquote normal Republicans. The next 4 years are going to be every bit as kooky and crazy and dangerous and toxic as the last four. Trump is going to be effectively a shadow president. I mean, he's watched TV and tweeted and played golf. He can do that from Mar-a-Lago, and he'll just hold any other potential entrance into the 2024 race at bay by either announcing his candidacy early or keep, you know, teasing the idea. But there's no way that, you know, it's going to be a Josh Hawley or Tom Cotton or, you know, the governor of Florida. It's going to be Donald Trump, or it's going to be Ivanka or Don Jr. who he passes the mantle to. This is a, you know, this is a money-making scam for the Trump family to pay the VIG on their debt.
Do you think that's true even after yesterday, that he's still the guy?
Yeah. I see people bending over backwards to justify what happened yesterday, to remove him from any culpability, to say that what happened didn't happen, that it was either justified or that it wasn't them doing what we saw them doing. It was the, you know, it was Antifa plants. The madness runs deep. It is pervasive. And yet we've seen all of this building. It's been going on for 4 years. The last 2 months have been, I mean, it's a hell of a season finale that they're running here. And we've got two more weeks left of this if they don't remove him from office. And we're in a dangerous situation for our country, both internally and externally. I said on Twitter yesterday that this was the most dangerous and serious attack on America ever, more so than Fort Sumter, Pearl Harbor, 9/11. This was from within. This wasn't an external enemy, killing a few thousand people. Clearly, on the human death scale, it doesn't measure up to those. But in terms of the danger to the foundation, the root of our country, who we are as Americans, this was the greatest assault on us ever. Trump has done more damage to America than any enemy ever has.
Jeff, you've had ample time to consider all this and an appropriate course forward. We have talked to a number of Republicans who are so disconsolate about the way things are going right now. We have spoken with libertarians who think that it's not very likely that a third party will necessarily come out of what's happening right now. What are you thinking about, and what are you talking to younger Republicans about, the direction that their activism should take right now, and a responsible place to put all the energy of the moment?
Well, I'll say I don't bother talking to young Republicans. Young Republicans are the Trump youth. The small fraction of young voters who support Republicans are Trump cultists. There are no sane among the group, and so I fear one for the future of the party, considering the young voters in their base. We've seen a political shift where college-educated white voters used to be often called, you know, suburban voters, used to be reliably Republican, and they're now reliably Democrat. We've seen a shift over the last 10 years, really, but really Trump has been a catalyst in moving that shift forward. And so we've seen now Kent County become a bellwether county in Michigan, where it's been a reliable Republican county since the 1850s, and it no longer is. Oakland County is now a solid, overwhelming Democrat county. And Mitt Romney won Oakland County when he ran for president, and Trump just lost it by more than 100,000 votes, double the margin that Hillary Clinton lost it by or won it by 4 years ago. And so we've seen this dynamic shift, and that's gonna keep happening. That's why states like Georgia, North Carolina, Texas are going to be the political battlegrounds, because you have not only large minority populations in those states, but you also have a higher percentage and a growing percentage of college-educated whites in those states. And so we're seeing a kind of the death knell of the Republican coalition that has been, in by and large, the governing coalition in this country for the last 50 years.
Jeff Timmer, former head of the Michigan Republican Party. He's now a partner at Two Rivers Public Affairs. Jeff, thank you.
Thank you.